is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
And psychic. I see blue. Adam, blue. Orange. Something orange.
Well, here's the thing. We were laughing about psychics last night, what idiots they all are. But I like when they do, they make these statements like they're fact. Ladies have an orangish red aura, and men is bluish green. Okay. Let me, which color is the male one again? Yeah, look out for that. Yeah. Then I always like the bad analogy about stuff that doesn't work, too. When somebody has a pseudoscience.
Oh, right.
And they go,
it's like,
yeah, you know, like when a ship goes into the ocean and it displaces a certain amount of water, that amount can't weigh more than the actual weight of the ship, or the ship will sink. Your aura's the same way. Like, you're like, huh? Okay.
What?
Yeah. The first one was something
about physical reality.
Right. But if they marry something that's logical to some crappy piece of pseudoscience, you just go along.
Oh, it's like, thanks for telling me.
Once I can get your head nodding the right direction,
yeah,
then it'll keep going that direction.
You're right.
Because
then you kind of get out, too. You want to wrap it up.
You know how it works when you, and this is how this works. You just get your head, just keep going.
There's that thing,
the hell out of here.
You want to get away from, too.
Yeah,
there's always that feeling.
Got it. Chris Angel in here nice last night. Nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Mind Freak came in here. At a certain point, Drew and I came back from one of our many potty breaks. You're going to be in for a treat tonight, by the way, because I ate asparagus tonight, and it does not take a psychic to realize I did it once I whiz up that urinal, Drew. You are going to smell that.
Ooh.
Pungent.
Yeah.
When he came back, he had four forks that looked like he dug them up from a Civil War graveyard.
Yeah.
These things were made out of, like, pot tin.
Yeah.
They weighed less than plastic forks, but they were metal.
Yeah.
And he had the three of them just sort of sitting out, and he goes, hey, I got these forks. Go ahead, watch this. And he starts shaking it, and I'm like, well, where'd you get these forks? Oh, I brought them with me, but they're no different than any ones you would find on the hall. He's a nice guy to want to say, like, well, if you bring the fork with you, it doesn't really count.
Something about that fork.
Here's the thing. If you come to
He bent the fork was the
He bent
trick.
The fork
yeah,
without, with his mind.
Yeah.
With his mind.
Yeah, of course.
His fork with his mind, though.
Yeah.
His mind doesn't work on my fork.
No.
My forks are made of steel. My forks are stainless steel. His are mostly lead with a little paste and just a drop of semen. Here's the thing. If you come to my house, I open my fork drawer, pull out the bottom fork, set it on top of the counter, and you bend it. That's something.
Yeah.
If you bring your own fork to my house,
mm-hmm.
which you claim is the same as my fork, except for we'll be using your fork.
We'll have to see about that.
It's game over.
Non-reproducibility.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I could get 21 every hand if the casino would let me use my own deck. Why can't I use my own deck?
Right.
I don't understand.
Same.
Let me prove to you I'm the world's greatest blackjack player by using my own deck of nothing but kings and aces. Can I please? Oh, we have to use your deck? Well, now I'm insulted. Game off. Yeah. Anytime someone brings their own fork to Ben, maybe something up.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's the fork. Mm. All right. And then, Drew, you made me nervous because you were picking it up and playing around
with
it.
You kept looking at it. Yeah.
I don't like that. I thought it was going to break off in your hand and we're going to be embarrassed.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I think he just flipped. He switched. He had a way of switching them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He just switched them. Because I tried bending it back. Couldn't bend it back.
Yeah, but the forks were sort of light and looked like they're made of pot.
Except
steel.
I tried to bend it back. I couldn't.
Maybe it does it once and sort of locks
maybe,
off.
Maybe.
All right. Drew, just don't monkey. Don't monkey. You know how uncomfortable that made me?
He wouldn't have left it out there if it were part of the trick. You know what I mean? If the trick, he was screwed up by that.
You're right. He wouldn't have thrown it out there. He wanted you to examine it.
Right, right.
Good. Smart, Drew. Smart, buddy.
These guys don't leave any stone unturned.
You're right. Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. 21? Yes. Yeah. He switched a fork, left the good one out so that you could examine it.
Right.
And not only did he leave it out there, practically put it in your ass.
Right.
He almost stabbed Drew with it.
Well, I mean,
I
pulled it out.
He
but
shoved it right in front of Drew
and
just
left him
there.
It was hard with that one prong sticking out in opposite direction. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay, you're right, Drew. Melissa?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I've been married for 4 years. We've been together 5 years.
I stopped at the generic fork store on the way. He really should embellish that story. I stopped at the all-steel generic fork store on the way in and bought four random forks. Now, let me show you this trick. As you should do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Melissa, I bought my own fork.
You got married at 17?
No. We've been together since I was 17, going on 5 years, going on married four. We've been married for 3, going on 4.
Mm-hmm. You got married at 18?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's way off. Adam, I'm picking apart.
Come
way,
on,
way off.
I'm
how
almost
your husband?
22. I'll be 22 in December. So.
How old is your husband?
He's 23.
All right, what's the question?
He just recently got completely naked in front of me, like 2 months ago.
What's that mean?
Like, no boxers, nothing. Like, bare butt naked.
And he had never done that before?
No.
Well, when I said, what do you mean, I really meant, what's your point?
Yeah, is that unusual? Is that bothersome?
Why is that? I have never met any guy that would not strip down butt naked any chance they got.
Well, why didn't you call us in last week, you know, call us in before he did it and ask us why?
You know, it's just kind of a weird thing. He just dropped his pants one day, and I was like, what?
He suddenly did it.
Is he overweight?
No.
Is there something about him that he's ashamed of?
Not that I know of.
Have you asked him why he's so uncomfortable with this?
Yeah, and he said, well, I just don't feel comfortable doing it.
Well, all right. And then you asked, well, why?
Yeah, and he's just like, well, no reason. Why question me?
Why question you? Because it's bizarre.
He always asked me, he's like, well, why are you questioning me? Why does it matter? Why should I, you know?
And you take that as an answer, Melissa?
Well, all right, here's just might as well shut up before I get it.
No. All right. No, before you get it.
Yeah.
What do you mean get it? Get it?
You mean he's going to back off the sex if you question him about?
No, he just was like, he'll go off on me. He'll be like, well, oh my God. He's like, you always nag me and everything else. Just shut up and leave me alone. Well,
let's talk to him. Where is he?
He's at home.
Can we talk to him?
Zip it, you nag!
No, he's in bed.
No.
Where are you?
I'm actually at work right now.
Oh, where do you work?
Scary.
I drive to nursing homes every night.
Oh, drive? What do you mean drive to nursing homes? To do what?
Drop off like diapers and IVs and stuff like that.
Wow, I'll tell you what—that is that's almost right below international jewel thief on the excitement.
Yes, it's
jobometer. Driving to nursing homes and dropping off Pampers
and catheters. And
whew, how big are you, baby? That's a heavyweight job. That's no job for a pixie. That's a big gal's job right there.
Well, I'm not that big, so.
What do you got?
145.
145?
Yeah.
All right.
3 feet?
No,
come on,
five. Foot five.
All right. I don't like the way this relationship is going.
No, don't do that. Don't say that.
I'm not going to tell him to get divorced.
I don't like the fact that he won't answer your simple questions about his bizarre behavior, and then he puts you on the defensive. That's not fair. It's not playing fair. Tell him it's not fair. It is bizarre. You've talked to us. Come on. What's the deal?
Don't have any kids for a while.
Oh, we got two already.
Oh, man.
We have a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old.
Okay.
Well, now, let's put it this way. At least he's getting over this whole thing.
Right.
Whatever it was, it's getting better.
Okay, here's the thing, everybody. When you have kids, you have to get along with your partner.
Yeah.
You don't have to get along with your partner because you love your partner. You have to get along with your partner because you love your kids. You owe it to your kids to get along with your partner.
Yeah, and then you'll love your partner. You know what I mean?
Whatever it takes to kickstart you in the right direction, just do it. Decide.
Well, you know, let's put it in a little more glamorous terms. You have an obligation to pay attention to that relationship. Make it work. On behalf of your kids, you have to give it what it needs and dedicate it, be dedicated to it in order to make it work. Period.
I would say this too, Drew. What do you think of this? There's two guys, one black, one white, both racist. Oh, yes. You can be a black racist. Mm-hmm. Look at Spike Lee. You both hate each other just naturally. But. You're you're huge Pistons fans. You both love the Pistons. Yeah. You love the NBA Pistons. So you show up to a couple of games, and you sit next to each other. And next thing you know, you're cheering when your team makes a basket. And the next thing you know, you have such a great love for this third object you're that sure. you're able to sort of get past whatever differences you have.
It's a beautiful
Can't
way
you
to,
treat that kids
a,
that way?
It's a beautiful way to describe a marriage. You start out hating each other.
You're Charlton Heston. He's Spike Lee. But you love this country.
All right, fair enough.
Can you get past it?
There you go.
Okay. Everyone get over your own ass on no, behalf of your kids.
General rule of thumb.
I'm really just talking to my parents. Yeah. Sarah?
Hi.
Uh-oh. 15?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's up?
Okay. I seriously have the best boyfriend in the world, but I'm constantly cheating on him, and I don't know why. Like, I think I get a rush.
You may have the best boyfriend, but you have the worst dad.
Ooh, heavy.
Heavy.
Yep, I have a good dad.
Do you have sex with these other guys?
Yeah.
Ooh, you have actual
sex?
Yeah.
How many guys?
Five.
Five guys.
In what period of time?
3 months.
That's pretty good. And this is all while you've had the boyfriend?
A little bit before and during.
Okay. So where is your dad? Something's up.
I live with my stepdad.
Where's your biological father?
He died.
Of what?
Cancer.
How old were you?
It was a couple of years ago.
Ooh, that's some pretty heavy stuff to go through.
What kind of cancer?
Lung cancer.
Ay, ay, ay.
All right, now Drew's going to start asking addiction questions, which will be a little bit offensive because your dad has passed on.
Well,
I know Drew's thinking crack pipe blew up.
No, no.
Tore a lung.
No, alcohol, cigarettes.
Alcohol? Well.
Me?
No, your dad. How'd you get along with him?
I didn't know him very well.
Why?
I just lived with my mom and my stepdad the whole time.
Your real dad got out early and just sort of abandoned the family?
Well, he had another family, and but towards the end of his life, I lived with him for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that just means you got out of control at home and your stepdad kicked you out, right?
No, I knew he was really sick, and I went to go see him.
No, I feel like an a-hole.
And then she decompensated afterwards.
Okay.
All right, Sarah. Some heavy stuff to have to
I really think there's nothing worse you can do to your young daughter than move out, abandon her, and start a new family.
Oh, my God. That's it. That's it. You don't matter.
They were never married.
Whatever. It's still a horrible, horrible thing for a young female
Drew,
to go through.
Hypothetical.
Yeah.
You have a you have a woman.
Yeah.
This woman you're going to marry. Mm. This is going to be your wife. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
You're going to have to live with this woman, raise a family with this woman, do all these things with this woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you take a woman that was molested one time? Now, just listen.
I know where you're going.
Well, I'm going there anyway.
All right.
Would you marry the woman that was molested one time?
Versus?
But not by a stranger, by her father.
Oh, boy.
Sexually molested.
Versus?
One time. Versus predator.
Versus predator.
Just... You know that movie thing.
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to mix it
up
a little.
I'm watching that movie right now. It's all in here.
Anderson's watching Predator.
What the hell?
Are you watching Predator?
Predator versus Alien or whatever it's called.
No. I know. The whole point is you said versus three times and it made me...
Think of that.
Made me think of that. Okay.
Versus?
Versus Aquaman. No. Versus a chick whose dad moved out, abandoned her, started a new family... Maybe sent a little Barbie dream van or something on Christmas. But essentially, it was clear to the girl that Daddy had a new wife. Daddy had a new family. Daddy seemed to be doing pretty good with that new family. And Daddy would, send a card every once in a while.
Yeah. I'll take that one.
Really?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
The sexual abuse guarantees some biological changes in the brain.
Well,
it's so profound.
Also, Drew being a passionate man, you don't want someone who's going to break on you in the bedroom. Drew needs a nice, sturdy vagina to attack on a nightly basis. He don't want you crying in there.
And then?
but here's the thing. I say the one woman with the one incident...
It can create great chaos.
It can, but I don't know. Does the chick ever get over it? The other one whose daddy moved out and did that stuff. Does ever one's just a one-time.
You're in for a world of hurt as the guy, because you're going to pay for dad's abandoning behaviors. You're going to pay.
Let me put this out there. I say the molestation thing shows up in the bedroom every once in a while, but in general, you have a better relationship than the one whose daddy abandoned into whatever.
Yeah, it could be.
Give it some thought.
Could be.
Give
it's it some heavy. Thought. It's a hard decision.
Thank you. That's me. I ask the tough, ridiculous, hypothetical questions. Sarah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, knock it off. You're 15.
You also could be bipolar or something, or and this is all really serious stuff, Sarah.
And also,
are you bipolar?
I don't know. That's what I was asking.
Well, you need to be have an evaluation. This could all be just the difficulty of the vulnerability of intimacy and sort of sabotaging that by cheating. Or were you sexually abused or anything?
Yeah, I was.
All right. So
who
this,
did that?
My neighbor.
Your neighbor?
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful thing.
Jesus, I thought I had bad neighbors.
Yeah.
They just call building and safety, but they don't actually rate me.
Well.
Which would be a step up. It would be an actual step up from what I get from my neighbor.
Yeah, Sarah, this all needs to be treated.
All right,
this
therapy,
is
baby.
This is,
come on
no
now.
Way you're going to have a stable relationship
Let's
with,
go.
With all that.
Let's
come
break
on.
It down. Let's focus. You're acting out.
Okay.
Okay. Well, just last week, I started taking this medication. It's my mom's, but I've been sneaking it. It's called Lorazepam.
What is it?
If you're familiar with it.
Lorazepam?
Yeah.
That's Ativan.
Yeah.
So you're getting addicted to that, too. So we got okay. addiction, we got trauma, we got the trifecta. We
but
got
here,
the banding
here's pad. The good news. Most people bottom out at 24, 25. You'll be bottoming out at 16 and a half, and then you can clean yourself up
hopefully,
and write a book.
Hopefully. Oh, my God.
And then bother the world. I don't know.
Become an attorney.
Well, here's the thing about the Sarahs of the world. You think the Sarahs of the world are bad when they're doing drugs and boozing and banging everybody. Wait till they sober up and get all righteous on your ass. That's when we really start paying.
We'll get their law degree. That's
what yes. They, that's get, what the, they get the law degree and they become the feminist attorney. And now we're all left. Change your name to Gloria. Close your eyes. Is there a Gloria you've ever liked? Anyone named Gloria? Everyone, close your eyes. Anyone named Gloria you've ever liked? No good Glorias? No? All right.
Yes, I got one.
Michelle, you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who?
She's the caretaker. She helps my mother-in-law and father-in-law out. Mexican.
Best BJ Drew's ever had. Michelle?
Said yeah. helped out.
I heard what you said. I know what you mean. Michelle?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, well, I've been dating my boyfriend for like about a month now, and we just recently started having sex, and his penis is really dark, and compared to the rest of his body, he's really pale.
Mm.
And like, I just wanted to know, is there like... anything he can do to make it lighter, like a cream he could put on it or anything?
Well, first off, I don't think you can ever be too rich or your penis can be too tan. That's number one.
All right, somebody else on the phone.
Drew.
Yeah,
Anderson. Anderson, go back to watching Alien vs. Predator.
There's somebody else on the phone. I can hear him breathing.
Yeah, she's picking up on he's being bogus. Go ahead.
Here's my thing, Drew. What is it about the penis that changes color? Because I've seen a lot of dork in my life.
Yeah.
Miles
of dork.
You took the amount of penis that I've
thousands
seen.
Thousands of penis.
Well, look, if you put the peni that I've seen and strung them end to end, two-lane highway from here to New York City.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a lot of peni.
What happened to that enough to stretch?
To the moon or whatever.
We don't do that. You poor kids, you grow up today. When I grew up, it was all that. They shell enough macaroni that if you put it end to end, it would, or you could stack these books and they would reach to the moon, or you would, everything was reaching and stacking and laying out, and there's none of that anymore.
Going around the globe.
We could go around
the
globe.
Circle the globe eight
times. We circle a globe. Yes, a lot of globe circling going on. Nothing anymore.
It's not so impressive anymore. That doesn't sound
I think
so
we're
big.
Over that. Well, here's the thing.
We've been to Saturn and things.
Right. Well, here's what it is. You make it around the globe in 26,000 miles, and the average guy who does sales on the road drives 42,000 miles a year, so it's not so impressive.
Right.
And you're not actually circling the globe. You're going from the Northridge area into the Newhall Saugus area 1,400 times.
That's why circling
not
the globe
quite
is
as
not
exciting
quite
as
circling
as the globe. So.
Let's talk Michelle and the dark penis here.
Yeah. Really?
Well, it's
true, but why do guys have this? Because I notice a lot of guys have this, especially males of color that I prefer.
Listen to me. That skin, when irritated, will either pigment or depigment.
Mm-hmm.
You notice how scars are either
lighter or
darker.
Right.
And when you get a circumcision, things pigment around there. Mm-hmm. Or when you have irritation or you monkey with yourself a little bit, you can pigment or depigment.
Mm.
And it's sensitive skin, so it has a tendency to sort of form or lose pigment.
Michelle?
Yeah.
All right, is your boyfriend on the other line?
No.
Who is?
No one.
Huh, sounded like it.
All right.
But, I mean, it's sort of a...
All right, so what do you want to do about it?
There's been many, many jokes like this.
Hey, why don't you get a nice white condom for him? Klan condom.
Is there, like, anything you could, like, put on?
Hold on a second.
little hooded condom?
This is this is possibly my greatest idea ever right now. Klan condom. Comes to a point like a Klan hood.
Two little holes.
No holes. Just, come on, buddy. No holes. I mean, for the eyes?
Yeah.
You'd have the two black dots.
All right, okay.
You can physically put holes in there.
Well, no. I mean, there'd be a condom underneath the little white sheath that came up. No?
No. I think the whole condom the Klan outfit.
Right, got it.
With the two black eyes and the pointy thing. And then you'd have, like, the Grand Wizard. That'd be the red one. Klan condom. Write that down. The point of the hood is the reservoir.
KK condom.
Yo! Strong stuff. Someone must have come up with this.
This is
going to be huge. This would be huge in the South. I go down to the rallies. I sell these babies. It's awesome stuff. Good gag for any of the brothers that had a good sense of humor, too, you know?
Right.
Okay. Michelle?
Yeah.
So what's the problem with it? Why is it so disturbing to you?
I don't know. It just kind of turns me off because he's really white.
How about he put, like Adam said, put a condom on?
Oh.
Oh, shut up. This isn't a question. He's really white. His penis is a shade and a half darker. Do you really care?
Well, actually, my friend, she really wanted
to. Yeah.
All right. Listen, bow guy. Okay. Do I have to? You know what? You kids make me sick. Do I have to explain to you the Geneva Convention of bogus calls?
We mentioned bogus three times to her, and she didn't
crack.
Well,
we said someone was on the other line, and I guess her friend is, and Anderson picked up on that. Here is the only way this can continue. If we call bogus, you have to fess up.
Yeah.
It is no different than the fish out of water in the Marco Polo, or as we now know it, Adam Carolla pool game.
Yeah, the games fun if you cheat. They lose their meaning.
I think we've lost that meaning in this culture and this society.
Yeah,
now.
It's all about winning no matter what.
There used to be a time where if you were going to participate in a marathon and you cut the track in half and came in first, it not only didn't mean anything, but you would be disgraced.
Right. Your honor.
Nobody would do it because it didn't mean anything to them. Therefore, why would you do it now? You just want that picture of you coming in first. So sad, Drew.
Heavy, Adam.
Heavy and sad.
Break time.
We're going to break it down.
We're going to break.
All right, so we're going to talk to CJ. Who do you want to talk to?
I want to take a break and then figure out who I'm going to talk to.
Yeah, we got Germany or Florida.
All right.
Kyle?
Yeah.
17?
Yeah.
You have a Germany or Florida question for us?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you ask it, and then we'll take a break. We'll answer it when we come back.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Please, everyone, stop asking us if we're ready.
All right. Sorry.
We're always ready.
I'm a big fan, Adam.
Sorry, buddy. I love you.
All right. A man was standing at the edge of a cliff, and he was urinating. And it was during a thunderstorm, and a bolt of lightning struck the urine and caused his penis to explode.
Oh, that's awesome. Germany or Florida?
That is awesome. Hang on. I think it's bogus. But it sounds awesome.
It sounds awesome, yeah. But things, weird stuff happens, so we'll see.
And you may be saying, well, why would a guy be urinating off a cliff? Oh, believe me, if I have my brothers, I wish I just lived like a cave Indian in Pueblo, Colorado. I'd take a leak off that cliff every goddamn day.
And now listen, this is a tough
one. You would not want to be in the cave beneath the Ace Man.
Or the little Pueblo apartment.
It would be raining fecal matter and urine.
Florida, lots of thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
No lying. Mm-hmm. He's a getcha.
Mm.
But not so many
cliffs in Florida.
And in Germany,
I find.
They have big thunderstorms. You know, big violent ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Blitzkrieg, I think they call it over there.
Lots of people getting hit with lightning in the
really?
Yeah, in the sort of Central European states.
I like to think that's God paying them back for the Holocaust.
Well, it's not just the Germans, like the Yugoslavians get it and stuff.
Well,
mostly by the coast, though.
Okay. All right, Drew.
It's a tough one. I'm thinking Germany.
All right, we'll finish that off after this.
You have 5 seconds.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Two.
Back in a minute.
One.
I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Rock out. You know what I'm this close to doing, Drew?
Freaking out.
Nope.
Dropping trow.
Dropping trow. I will drop trow.
Michelle.
Drop trow.
He'll drop
Michelle
trow.
Michelle will drop trow. Your ass. He'll drop trow.
You don't watch trow. Drop trow. Drop trow. He will drop trow.
Back it up or I will drop some trow, lady. This close to dropping trow. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. We'll finish up with young Kyle, who's 17. Kyle.
That's a nice greeting.
Young Kyle?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Jimmy just walked in and gave him a little one of these.
Flipped
little,
you off.
Totally new.
Flipped you off.
Oh, thought that was me flipping me off. I thought I was looking at my own reflection.
No. It was him flipping you off with both hands.
Kyle?
Yeah.
So.
Here, whoa, we
somebody walked in. It's Jimmy Kimmel. Hold on a second.
Oh, sweet.
Kyle. Heat up that mic.
Let's do mystery guest. And you guess who it is?
All right. Kyle.
Hey,
Kyle, we're
playing. No, it's not Kyle.
Hold on. Jimmy.
Listen, we didn't participate, Jimmy.
Jimmy who? He didn't answer who. He just said Jimmy. Let him finish.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh. Okay. But here's the beauty. When we go to our next caller and play mystery guest with him, they won't know. CJ.
What's up, guys?
Can you guess our mystery guest tonight?
Jimmy Kimmel.
All right, hold on. Pure luck.
Ashley.
Sarah?
Hello?
20, we're playing Mystery Guest. Who's in studio tonight?
That's a hard one. Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm still not going to give up.
This game doesn't work as well when
you announce it before.
Yeah, I guess when you announce it before. Yeah.
Ashley?
Ashley, 18, we're playing Mystery Guest. Who's in studio tonight?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
Wow.
This time I'm disappointed in our callers.
Everybody gets a bobblehead doll, I guess, right?
We don't have Kyle tell Jimmy the story.
Okay.
This is good.
Jimmy, you jump in for a little celebrity round of Germany or Florida.
I just stopped by to use the bathroom, actually. I was in the area and I had an attack.
Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay. Retell the Germany or Florida story, please.
All right. A man was standing at the top of a cliff urinating during a thunderstorm. A bolt of lightning hit his urine and caused his penis to explode.
Yeah, I heard this on the drive over. I don't believe it for a second, but
I don't either. But
for the sake of Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy spent some time in Florida. It was one of the many markets he was thrown off of early in his career.
I also spent a little bit of time in Germany earlier this year.
Really?
Ramstein.
Yes. Working on the project. Adam and I have something we're working on.
Final Solution. Oh,
Final Solution. But we can't talk about it on the air.
Yeah, we're asked by the Hitler sympathizers not to speak about it on the air.
Okay, yeah.
But here's the whole thing. I don't think they have cliffs in Florida. Do they have cliffs in Florida?
Yes, they do.
Many cliffs. Yeah. I thought there were just swamps and bogs and things.
I don't know. I just imagine Florida is stormier than
I'm with you on that.
Germany. But then since this is an imaginary story.
But if it were real, you would have heard about it if it happened in Florida.
You know what? Whenever I'm listening, I always think that. And then people say Florida.
Yeah.
I read 11 newspapers a day. I have 10 guys that are reading the paper looking for interesting things. And somehow your callers get hold of these incredible stories from Florida.
And this is the genesis of Germany or Florida. Jimmy's right.
All right,
sitting around the
table. I'm going Germany.
I'm going Germany, too.
I'm going to go Florida.
Kyle?
Kyle, is it Germany or Florida?
It's Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I'm going to change mine to Germany.
Yeah. Jimmy's changed his to Germany.
I have another quick question for Drew.
Yeah?
I recently was diagnosed with a gallstone.
That's 17. Wow.
Yeah. And
lightning hit your penis?
What's that?
Yeah.
Never mind.
All right. It's great to get into something an old Jew gets when you're 17.
Oh, I know.
You really know you're on top of your game. It really makes. What can you look forward to?
In medical school, they used to train us at the four F's of gallbladder disease: fat, flatulent, 40.
Really?
Female.
Flatulent.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
A farty female in the 40s.
Jimmy, you better be airlifted out of here.
I'm not going to get that sex change after all.
He did some work in the bathroom.
He's got three out of the four F's going for him, though.
No, he did some work.
Kyle, how does this work? What are you going to do? What are you doing?
No,
with
wait.
This now,
so what's how did you end up with that? Kind of bothers me.
I don't know how I got it, but I discovered it because I was getting really sick in the mornings.
Huh.
I would just feel so sick that I would vomit even.
Uh-huh. And I had a similar thing.
Well,
I
we did actually. Eventually went to the emergency room and
they did an ultrasound.
Yeah, and they found I think it was one gallstone.
Huh.
Boring.
I had a.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I actually had a Flintstone in my penis. It was a weird. It was the weirdest thing. It was this cartoon caveman with no shoes on, was jammed in my penis.
Well, I have a theory about that.
I know they put the spikes down you.
Yeah, they did do that, but not. That was a different thing.
I have a theory about that. I think his boyfriend Huey Lewis was sucking on it shortly before he performed fellatio on Jimmy and spit the Wilma into Jimmy's urethra.
Ooh,
Haru, how else could have gotten?
You know what? It's great powers of reasoning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. They should really. Here's the whole thing. One out of every. Oh, I just thought of a great concept for that.
Better than the Klan condoms?
Maybe.
Which I wrote down in
Thank
the car
you.
On the way
Thank
over.
You.
I don't want that to disappear into the ether because
KK
that's
condoms.
Huge.
It takes a genius to recognize my genius. I've said it many times. Here's the deal. Drew, you're not smart enough to recognize my genius.
I recognize it.
Quiet.
He's just tired of it.
What about this for a contest? Flintstone vitamins. One. There will be one out of all, you know, they still make Flintstone vitamins, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which
one will be made out of a hard, non-digestible plastic that will come out in its full form in the stool. That, the person that
Waving.
Eats that, no, well, no, because it goes in, it has to go in as
oh, yeah.
one of
You're
the
right.
characters, Barney right. or Flintstone or Wilma
comes
or Flint, you know, Fred or whoever. But that is the golden one, and when that one comes through, you are entitled to $1 million.
Ooh.
So every kid is gobbling these things up yeah. and then checking their stool.
And then the kid that chokes it, that his parents get to collect $1 million.
Well, if in fact it works that way, but I think we could make something. You do swallow the, or do you chew them?
You
They're
chew
chewable.
Them.
Is that why it
They're
says chewable on the thing?
I found a fecal Wilma.
What you do is you make the one vitamin looks exactly and is made of exactly the same material as all the other vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People never know if they want it or not.
Better. Write that down. Jimmy,
that's
write
good.
That down.
You
go back in your car and write
down.
That down.
I have to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry to interrupt the show.
That's all right.
I'm very, very busy.
That's all right.
I'll see you guys later.
All right. If any of the guests we had on the show earlier in the week came in here, we'd be angry. But,
but
Jimmy's an actual celebrity. All right. Let's talk to Sarah, who's 20. Sarah?
Oh, hi.
You can't get into relationships.
How yeah. come?
Why?
Well, some of the usual, but I mean, I'm not able to really, like, handle guys on just any intimate or other than friend relationship.
So was it abuse, neglect, abandonment? What do we got going?
Well, like, I guess they're kind of a combination. Like, I don't know, when I was little, I was kind of left by my mom as a baby.
All right.
Why? What'd you do?
Drugs.
Yeah, the
okay.
usual.
So you're angry.
Well, like, I've gone to counseling most of my life and everything, so I don't know, but it's just, like, I can't even really.
Well, you like, sound, you know, the feeling we get from you is not that of somebody who's been severely abused or abandoned. So the counseling seems to have sort of had some effect on you. The sort of the last stage of that sort of healing process is being able to tolerate close relationships. The proximity of other minds is what's difficult for people when they've been let down.
But, Sarah, you're working on it. You're 20. You're making headway.
Yeah, like, and I guess I'd like to say I'm kind of making headway, but it really...
You got to kind of force yourself.
Stuff like that, but I just, like, I am also, like, just... I can handle guy friends and stuff like that, but then they usually end up hitting on me or something, and then I'm just... Then
why don't you kind of force yourself into a relationship? The great thing about that is at 20, there's a natural biological drive you can kind of go with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not an aversion necessarily automatically. It's just that something you can kind of latch on to, but you got to be willing to do it and kind of take yourself in.
Well, here's the thing. There's a few things I want to talk about. One is sort of forcing yourself to act as if, Drew and I spoke about this earlier in the week, half of life is sort of working things out in your head, getting your head on it straight emotionally, and then the other half is just moving forward and doing it.
Right. I mean, that's the important part. If you don't do it, what the hell?
You could be the world's laziest person, but if the alarm went off every morning at 6:45, you got up, took a shower, and went to work, you would not be the world's laziest person.
There you
could always feel like the world's laziest person. And in your heart of hearts, you could have that. And you could have been that in the past, but as long as your attendance record at work is perfect, you're not the world's laziest person.
Right.
I don't know if you're actually still that person, if we cut you open and dissected you, if you would bleed lazy. But either way, you're showing up at 7:30 at the job, and that's all you need to know.
Take Sarah as an example. Her letting herself get into a relationship, she'll still be uncomfortable and miserable and, you know, sort of have difficulty with it. But she'll gain a facility with it.
And the more you do it, the easier it gets.
That's the point, the facility. It'll be easier for her.
Right. So just do it. And the other thing, too, about therapy is it's sort of like weight loss, which is when you're paying attention, nothing seems to happen. It's when you just go through it, you stick with it, but you don't think about it too much. And then all of a sudden, a few months goes by and you've shed 18 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're just sort of weighing yourself and staring at the scale for an hour every day, it never seems to move. And I guess everything's that way, but I think therapy's sort of that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you just sort of do it, it'll happen and it'll evolve, but when you really focus on it, you don't seem to be getting anywhere.
Yep.
All right. I don't know why life has to be so ungratifying that way. Why can't, you know, why couldn't you just think, concentrate really hard and lose 5 pounds in 20 minutes? Angela?
Angelina.
Angelina?
Oh, hello.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, is this for Dr. Drew? I just was recently diagnosed. They did a bunch of tests on me, and I was diagnosed that there's a parasite inside of me that's eaten away at the insides, which is causing me to bleed. They thought it was an IUD because I had that in there for a few years. And then they said it was my body rejecting it and that it was cutting into my insides. But I think now because of that, there's some kind of parasite in there that's still causing me to bleed. And I've been bleeding for 4 months, and I'm just not sure what kind of parasite it is because my doctor really hasn't told me anything about it.
What are you talking about? Never heard about this. The parasites are predominantly in your intestinal system. Are you talking about rectal bleeding?
No, it's all coming out as if it was like a period.
Okay, but you're talking, I mean, Angelina, you're speaking of your bodily functions the way like a 5-year-old thinks of them.
Yeah, it's a turn on.
I'm sorry.
There are no parasites in the urogenital tract. There's protozoans.
Mm.
There's something called trichomonas.
Well, maybe the protozoan part is what got you confused with the parasite. And, Drew, what happened to tapeworms?
Tapeworms around.
Well, let's see some of them. Well, let's get some of them back.
Passing proglottids and things is fabulous.
Let me say this.
You pass pieces of the tapeworm every once in a while.
Let me say this. There's a lot of stuff in this country that we don't have that we should have.
Because we're industrialized, we have antibiotics and things.
I know, but I still love that idea of somebody pulling an 8-foot tapeworm out of them that's been, you know, they've been a host to for 20 years. And I like the idea, and I like fireworks. You know, there's a few things I like that we don't really get over here. You know what I'd like to do? I like to section off one part of this country just to be a third world that we could go visit, like a petting zoo.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like here's the thing.
We have leprosy. We have all the quaint illnesses of the past.
Let's find a state that's not particularly populated. Alaska's probably a little cold. Have to be a little bit warmer.
We need kind of central if we all get to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're thinking.
Nevada.
Nevada could be good. Mm-hmm. I think it's
or
a
part
little,
of Nevada.
You know, there's the thing about Nevada, not tropical enough.
Mm,
I think it's got some heat over there, but maybe too much. I don't know if some of these parasites would flourish.
Mm.
Here's my point.
Yeah, Florida, you're right.
We take, and we're almost there with Florida anyway, might as well just finish the job. We take a state. Maybe even it's just, you know what, Drew? Mm. I'm being too tough with the state thing. It's probably too lofty a goal.
Okay.
We take a city
in
a state. Take like Tallahassee or something. Okay. We clear it out. Then we bring in all the people from around the world, the elephantiasis and the tapeworms and all the parasites and the crazy stuff with the goiters and the gross and all the crap. We bring in the animals and the killer bees and the cockroaches. They're as big as a shoebox and water moccasins. And it becomes a third world amusement park. And you know why we go? You know why we tour? We tour through it like a country, like you tour kids through a prison in Scared Straight.
Yeah. Like, you know,
you'll go home and kiss the ground.
Yes.
You can't believe how happy you are to live in this wonderful country now.
It'll be like a wild animal park, but it'll be third world wild park.
you'll tour through it, and it'll go
a tram.
It'll go through. It'll have the brutal dictatorships. Oh, awesome. Just, you know, mass graves, and you know, guys with mustaches holding shotguns and skulls everywhere. Yeah. Then that goes into the disease and famine alley. The kids with distended bellies and flies everywhere. And
pregnancies.
Are you writing this down?
Horrible complications of pregnancy and sepsis and death.
All right, Drew, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface.
Don't we already have Mexico, though?
Oh.
Anderson, how dare you?
What? You know, here's the thing, too. I've been on the show for almost 11 years. I've avoided Mexico. It's the topic of humor. And now to start, I just find that distasteful.
They don't have filarial disease.
Yeah.
No leishmaniasis.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break.
Wait, we didn't finish with the...
Oh, we'll finish. Yeah. We'll finish.
All right.
After this.
This is Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. I had what I think is a minor stroke of genius in the last break, last segment. We were talking about opening an amusement park
I'm not sure amusement's the right word. A theme park.
Well, I would be amused.
You would be. That's true.
So technically.
Yeah.
People always talk about whenever these celebrities, when Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie or any of these blowhard celebrities travel about, they come back and tell you about the appreciation for what we have.
Right.
They go to Biafra, and then they come back and they're like, we don't appreciate how good we have it. And I would like to appreciate how good I have it, but I really don't want to go to Biafra.
I want to go somewhere more contained.
But if the place was in Florida somewhere... Third world.
We could go to third world, make a trip, family trip to third world.
We don't call it an amusement park. We call it a reality park.
Ooh.
And it's a reality check. You go in there and it makes you, meanwhile, you're driving a crappy car, your wife's fat, you live in a 1,100 square foot pillbox house, but you go home, you kiss the ground when you see how the rest of the world lives.
Yes, images of Kwashiorkor. Big swollen bellies.
I just don't want to go to the rest of the world to find out how they live.
Well, now here's the...
But now with third world, it's like Disney World. Third world.
Yeah.
You tour around from the safety of your tram.
How do we decompress it? How do we sort of keep it contained? How do we keep those shoebox...
Electric fence.
Cockroaches from getting out. And then what about all the disease that's going to be contained in there?
Well...
We can't let that get out.
First off...
It'd be a great movie.
First off, here's the deal.
Third world park.
First off, we will have to, just like we do a zoo, we will have to extract people from the third world and use them for our exhibit. We'll make no promises of curing them. Obviously, the guy with elephantiasis or the babies with the distended bellies
We have to ride by our trams and point and laugh.
Well, true. Now, I don't think it's going to be funny. I think I'm going to have some perspective for my life, though.
You, babe, but Americans in general, they're going to be ridiculing. And
I think we're going to bring them. We will bring them over. We will contain them. We will put them in their natural habitat, just like we do when we, you know, get gators or zebras or something like that. Just like the zoo, we will provide a certain amount of medical stuff, but we're not going to take an eraser to the zebra stripes.
Ooh.
But we will feed it.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're not going to turn it into something it isn't.
Yeah, I got it.
You see what I'm saying?
I got it.
When you have elephantiasis because you stepped on some parasite and some hippo flop, you have it. We're not going to change that. That's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's you. No one can take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's you. But we will give you, you know, three hots and a cot.
Yeah,
we'll put you in at night.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the trams will be covered. There will not be open trams.
Oh.
Lexan glass, HEPA filtered air coming through.
How about a sort of a monorail?
Monorail.
Suspended.
Monorail, Lexan, HEPA filter, triple HEPA filtered air. But when you make your way through third world, and then all the accompanying amusement parks, the Banana Republic...
Oh.
The evil dictator, the oppressive Soviet thing. We'll have them all. You'll experience them all.
Yes.
You'll go through there, and then when you get back to your house, you will kiss the ground. Kiss the ground.
You will indeed.
I like New Third. Like New York, but New Third.
New third world. Well, let me finish with Angelina before we run out of time here, because she's had some weird questions.
New third world. Yeah. Third world. I think, yeah, it depends how you pace it. Yeah. Okay. We'll beat it out.
So, Angelina, did they tell you about a protozoan or a parasite?
They said a parasite.
And not chlamydia up in your tubes?
No, they didn't say it was any of that. They said it was a parasite that was in there.
Meaning what? What kind of parasite?
He never told me. I only got to speak to his nurse. I don't get to talk to my doctor very often.
And do they treat this?
They did just give me three medications that I'm supposed to take all at the same time.
What did they give you?
They gave me, if I pronounce this right, it's clarithromycin.
Right, that's for chlamydia. Go ahead.
And lansoprazole.
AIDS.
That's for AIDS?
No, mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And what's the third?
And the third one is metronidazole.
Metronidazole, that's for the protozoan.
So if AIDS,
that's
polio.
That's for the trichomonas. So they're treating you for chlamydia and trichomonas.
Either way, don't take the meds. I'm going to need to see you in Florida.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks.
So, Angela, they think that you just have a basic, sort of an STD, basically, either a vaginal infection or a tubal infection.
Yeah.
And they're treating you for all of that.
I like that angle, though.
I'm trying to figure out what the second antibiotic was.
I have the clamp, but I'm just going to go ahead and call it protozoan. Are you ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah, we're out of time.
No, we're not. We're never. No, it's not over. It's never over. All right, who are we going to talk to when we come back? Girlfriend is pregnant, doesn't think baby's his. I like that. Blood poisoning. How many people who say they had blood poisoning or food poisoning actually have it? What percentage?
Less than one.
Percentage of people that say, I got
blood
food poisoning.
Blood poisoning is not a word that has no meaning.
I don't even know what that means.
That doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
So who knows what they're talking about?
Food poisoning, about 8%.
Yeah.
You ate something, and then 11 hours later, you vomited.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily food poisoning.
No, that could be 20 different things.
You got to look at it this way. Every single time you vomit in your life, you've probably ate something not more than 3 hours
right.
or further than 3 hours away from when you vomited. It doesn't mean that's what made you vomit.
That's correct.
If you didn't eat for 4 weeks and then you vomited after eating something, maybe that's food poisoning.
And by the same token, the most common thing is somebody was handling it who had a virus that you got from the food. The virus.
Not the
viral
poison.
Gastroenteritis, which is not a food poison.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew? Oh, nothing. Just a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
Now we're gonna address poisoning? Let's address that.
Blood poison.
Whatever the hell that means.
Natalia?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had blood poisoning last year. I actually ended up with a bone infection, and I ended up going into septic shock and pretty close.
Hold on. What do you mean by blood poisoning? What does that mean?
That's what the doctor told me it was.
No, he didn't tell you had blood poisoning, because that's not a term that has any meaning. You had osteomyelitis and you had septicemia. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what it was, septicemia. I couldn't remember the big name for it.
Hold on a second. Drew, are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
Good times. Yeah, so what's the question? So you had osteo. What, did you get a puncture wound or something? Something get through your foot? Or?
No, what happened was I slipped off the back of a truck at work and broke my foot. And then on the 11th of September, I was admitted to the hospital with a hematoma, an extremely large hematoma on the top of my foot.
Yeah.
And apparently staph had grown inside of it, just something that I had been carrying in my body, and it grew inside of it and caused a bone infection.
There must have been a puncture of some
kind.
Did
you sue your employer?
No, I'm on workers' compensation.
No, oh boy. How long are you on workman's comp for?
I've been on it for almost a year now.
Where do you work? Where did you work?
I worked on an Air Force base in Gila Bend, Arizona.
And fell off a truck?
Guard. Yeah, we had to wash our trucks at the end of every shift, and I had climbed in the bed of the truck to wipe the back window. And when I was climbing back out, I had a hold of the tailgate, and I slipped off the bumper.
Hmm. Well, it's your fault, isn't it?
It happened at work, though.
Okay.
It was at work.
How long does somebody get to stay on workman's comp?
Depends on the diagnosis.
Well, so can you move now?
Oh, yeah, I can move now. I'm just not allowed to do a lot of prolonged standing or walking.
Hmm. And so you can't go back to work because your gig was a security gig.
Yeah, well, the security guard, yeah.
Aren't they wanting to retrain you?
Yeah, they're willing to retrain me. I'm just having some problems with the financial situation I was in prior to that. But my main question
yeah,
was...
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you're having problems financially,
don't
you sure as hell don't want to go back to work.
No, don't retrain.
That's
no.
not when you go back.
Yes,
no.
Oh, my.
Hang back. Let the financial storm blow over and then start making some money.
Yes, good. Perfect advice, Adam.
Yeah.
Well done.
You got to tie up those loose financial strings before you actually get back and start working. Natalia.
Yeah.
What do you get paid from workman's comp? Do you get the same thing you made when you were working?
No, you get, well, in the state of Arizona, you get 66 and two-thirds of your monthly pay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. Not very much.
Right. All right. So, yeah, get some retraining, get back on your feet and into work. But yeah. The next question is, or Drew, the question is...
What was her question? Yeah.
Is there any possibility that it could be lingering in my body? You know, is it passable to, like, if I get pregnant and have...
No. Look, you've had how many weeks of IV antibiotics now, Natalia?
1,000. Don't get pregnant, by the way, when you're home on workman's comp.
I agree with that. And yes, you can have staph lingering in various spots, as any of us can. And some of those staphs can be resistant and problematic, but it's not a contagious disease.
All right.
They live with us.
Therapy one. Find out when to talk to one.
Yeah.
Why, what's on one? Michelle?
Yes.
What's up there?
You found out two of your ex-boyfriends committed suicide?
No. The guy that I'm seeing now monogamously, his last...
Oh, they're two exes.
His two exes.
Two exes.
Yeah. And
does he one of these people likes to sort of fall in love with broken people?
Maybe. I don't really know.
Do you have any kind of history of psychiatric illness or addiction or anything?
No, it's not me. It's him.
We're questioning it about him. You would sort of shed some light
on him. You're not going to get a healthy person with high self-esteem to kill themselves.
Yeah. Right, it's not like he caused them to kill himself. It's more likely that he's attracted to people that are depressed or broken in some way, and he tries to rescue them, and of course it doesn't work.
Right, this is like a surgeon who's lost many patients, but when you go back and look at it, the reason he's lost
tough
many
cases.
Patients is he takes the tough
right,
cases.
Exactly. Brilliant analogy.
Brilliant.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really?
Breathtaking.
Hello?
Really? Yeah. Go ahead, Michelle. It is?
Yeah.
Say it again.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I do much better analogies than that, but they're usually car related.
I know.
I don't think you get them, but you like the medical ones.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Breathtaking.
So easy, Drew. That was a zero. Go ahead, Michelle.
My question was, I found this out through one of his friends. So, not through him, but his friends. So, how do I respond to this? Like, should I bring it up to him?
Yes. Why not?
Well, I'll tell you why not, because he's going to strangle his friend. He's going to commit homicide on his friend.
Yeah.
What the hell is his friend telling you this for?
Who knows if it's even true, by the way.
What is it? What is that thing, by the way, when you just start telling the chicks or the guys you're going out with, you start telling them crap?
Jealous, envious, or likes her.
But there's also just a gene when you're 20. That's
the,
what
the
you
chaos
do.
Chaos gene, yeah.
It's that weird everything is, all that teenage angst and everything. The whole thing is like just a... some kind of movie with Matt Dillon from the 80s, you know, with you and Emilio Estevez, and everyone's just looking down, and it's like, man, hey, man, I shouldn't be telling you this, but the Kyle you know is not the Kyle I know. You know that one? Hmm. What? Tell me. I don't think I should say anything. What is that? The greatest thing I've ever learned. There's a few things you learn with time, and one of them is stop talking.
Oh, you
quit communicating with people.
Oh, with people.
Don't tell them their business. Don't tell them your business. Don't tell them anything. Just hang back.
Shut your pie hole.
Just shut up. Here's the thing. Nothing in it for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good point here, everybody. Go ahead and assess in life what's in it for you and what's not in it for you or what's potentially in it for you. Because here's how you want to lead your life. You want to make those decisions. It's like, well, if you rob a bank, you could get $1 million or you could do 20 years in prison, but at least there's an upside.
Hmm.
You don't want to rob a bank that has no money in it, because if it all works out, you get away with zero.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, you're still doing the 20 years. And that's what gossiping is like when you're young or any age. No upside in it for you to go ahead and spread some rumors and gossips, but potentially bite you in the ass.
But there's almost a biological sort of arousing quality to it. You get the focus of attention, you know, something special, it's exciting, you know, that's what people go for. It's not hurting other people, it's not the content, it's the process of sharing this, you know, exciting information.
They love that little dance.
Yeah.
You got that weird energy dance when you're young.
Yeah, but think about the consequences of what you're doing.
Right.
That's all.
I was just thinking about it.
Shut your pie hole.
Are we talking to Michelle still?
No, we're done. No.
No? Yeah. You're cool?
Yeah.
All right. Brittany?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I'm going to get depressed. Right. I want to talk to Ashley. Ashley?
Yes?
Hang on, Brittany. Ashley, you're 18?
Yeah.
Every guy you've dated has cheated on you?
Pretty much. Except for
how many guys? How many guys?
I don't know exactly. I've been dating since I was 13, so.
85 guys, 8 guys, 2 guys.
Probably over 20, I'd say.
And is it
over 20 guys have cheated
on you?
That's
hold on.
Ton of guys.
Do you mean cheated or sort of wrapped up the relationship and moved on to somebody else? Or never even declared monogamy in the first place?
Or, yeah, had a girlfriend and dated you a couple of times.
Yeah.
No, it was like a monogamous relationship, and I found out that they had slept with another girl while we were dating kind of thing.
But how could you establish a monogamous relationship 20 times by the age of 18? How is that possible?
None of them have lasted over a month.
That's not a monogamous relationship. That's just starting to date.
You're getting to know someone, and well, 9 days into it, they bang their old girlfriend.
Right.
I'm talking like at the point where they said, do you want to be my girlfriend? Do you want to just date each other kind of thing?
Yeah, but up to that point, they will be sleeping with other people.
Yeah. Well, Ashley, yeah, I'm going to pull out of this chick and ask you a very important question.
I'm saying after they've said that they just want to date me.
Okay. I still find 20... an inflated number for age 18. But either way, we get
that
the message.
That means every 2 months you have to...
Whatever it is, we get the point. So what are we going to do about this? You're calling from Alaska?
Yeah.
There's really only two possibilities here. You are picking awful guys and attracted to horrible people.
Right.
Or you have trouble sort of interpreting social cues and you're not really understanding what's happening and you're looking for reasons to sabotage these relationships.
Okay. What part of Alaska are you calling from?
Eagle River. It's close to Anchorage.
Mm-hmm. And why are you there? What is your dad fleeing?
What's the story?
Why am I in Eagle River?
Well, everyone in Alaska has a story.
We don't mean actually in Eagle River, but in the county of Eagle River. Yes.
Basically because my mom decided to move here when I was 5.
Okay. What was she running from?
I don't know. It might have been my dad.
And what's up with him?
He was never really around. I wasn't actually supposed to be born. I wasn't a planned birth kind of thing.
I have this theory that I could walk into any place in Alaska and just go, even if it was a church, and I could just walk in and go, yeah, I'm Federal Marshal Johnson. I have a warrant from 1987. And the entire place would just scatter. People would be diving out the windows, through the stained glass window, shoulder roll onto the snowmobile.
It looked like the Columbine or something.
It'd be like Jesus caught on fire. I could do that in a church. Now, if I went into a bar.
Oh. Well, they'd start shooting back.
They'd start shooting. Yeah. It would return fire. I would love to do that. I have this theory that I could walk into any large hall, like a bingo hall or church or any large establishment in either Nevada, Alaska, and certain parts of Florida and just go, excuse me, I'm Federal Marshal Johnson. I have a bench warrant for, and everyone's just, it'd be the greatest. I would never tire of it if I lived in Alaska.
It's a great reality show. It's a great idea for a reality show. But you haven't been to Alaska. I went up there.
I don't care. I know everyone in there is fleeing the law.
And every person up there will tell you that their family or they themselves has a story.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has a story up there.
Yeah, it's always like, what are you doing here? My dad didn't feel it was the federal government's job to tell me whether I could stockpile munitions or hookers. It's like, it's always somebody's fleeing something, running from the past.
Yeah.
Never hear anyone running from the future. And by the way, if you were running from the future, would you have to go backwards?
Yes, you'd be going back in time.
You couldn't run forward because you'd be heading toward the future.
You have to run towards the future, yes.
But what if you ran sideways? Could you still be getting away laterally from the future?
That's a technicality.
Well, if the future was in front of you and you were going to the side.
Yeah, you could miss it, yeah.
But do you think the future runs all the way along, like the Canadian border, or do you think it's just sort of in the middle?
Well, I just think if you run sideways, you're never getting into the future. So it's a technicality. It's interesting.
Hmm.
Could you stay in the present forever?
Ashley?
Running sideways?
Yeah.
These are all questions you could answer
for
us. Big
questions. Huge.
So your mom moved up to Alaska when you're five.
But so the fact that you have an abandoning, chaotic father and a mom that just decided to take off to hinder other parts.
He abandoned me. It was just more like my mom wanted to move up here. My uncle was already living up here, and so we lived with him for a few years.
Let's put it this way. Given that you had a father who your mother needed to flee, it starts to make sense that you would have trouble in relationships with men.
Yes. And the other part, too, is whenever the sister and the brother decide to move up
together,
because she's over
together.
It. Well, he was living up there. So she, are you kidding me?
It's not like that. But okay.
I don't mean weird and sexual. I just mean it's just white trash.
Well, we did move up here from Virginia, so.
All right. Okay. So you got issues with men. And all the guys you're dating up there in Alaska are the offspring of fleeing felons.
So they're suspect, too. I agree with you. But
yes,
Ashley, the only variable you have any control over is Ashley.
Yes.
And let's go ahead and sort of pay attention to what you contribute to all this. And if you don't like how things are going, change that.
Hold on. She thinks you're talking about Ashley Judd.
I was talking about...
Explain to her that it's when he says Ashley,
I mean
means
Ashley
you.
Olson.
It means you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's just weird because... A lot of the guys, like...
All right, that's enough. Just listen to us. Would you please stop doing the same thing over and over again?
Must be getting cold up there.
Please, people.
Days are going to, like, night. Night's, like, 20 hours now. It's bad times.
Okay, Longfellow. Would you write some of that down? Here's the thing. Try to be more human than animal, everybody. That's my sincere wish for everyone listening to the show. Here's what animals do. You know what animals do? The same goddamn thing over and over again. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they do. They do the exact same goddamn thing. My dog barks at the same nothing every night at 8 o'clock. Every night, like a maniac. Every night at the same nothing.
I hope it's at the neighbor down the hill there.
Trying to get bench warrants for me?
No. Is he doing that now?
No. He's just an old coot. Keeps calling the city about my
again?
Hedge. Yes, he's on it again.
No.
Yes.
How do you not... This is how murders happen, I think.
You know what? Here's the thing, Drew. Thankfully for all my neighbors, I'm so goddamn busy, I just don't have time to go over there and actually put a contract out on them.
Yeah.
But it'd be awesome if some of them just keeled over. It really would be. And that's the thing, too. Once you're on my S list, I wish death upon you.
And then they become infinitely successful.
No. That's how the Corolla curse works. I'm just saying, everybody, please get off this treadmill known as your life and start trying to get outside yourself a little bit. If the same thing happens to you 20 times in a row, maybe it's you.
Maybe.
If you keep getting fired, maybe you're a bad employee. Yeah. If you keep getting D's and F's, maybe you're a bad student. Maybe it has something to do with you. Maybe it's not the teacher hates you. Maybe it's not your employer is jealous. Maybe it's not every guy in Alaska cheats, although I'm sure a disproportionate percentage of them do. Maybe it's the guys you're picking.
Right.
Why not embrace that? Otherwise, you just lie around waiting to get hit by life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you start, and it's a bitter pill. And you have to humble
Reverend
yourself.
Reverend Run was up here saying he takes responsibility for everything.
Rev Run.
Good or bad.
Well, let's talk about this philosophically very quickly. I don't want to get preachy or boring, or maybe it's too late. Or both. But here we go. If you show up at a store on a Sunday and the store's closed and you start cursing the store and saying, I drove halfway across town. I can't believe this. I ruined my weekend. I can't believe what kind of place is closed on a Sunday. you never learn a lesson.
Right.
But if you say, man, you know what? I should have called.
Yes. I should have made that. I should have known next time.
I should have made that phone call.
Yep.
And then someone, your wife is saying to you, oh, honey, how would you know? Every place is open on Sunday these days. And you say, you know what? Now, next time, I will pick up the phone and call.
Mm-hmm.
Then you learn something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get angry at the store for not being open, what's to stop you from going to the... What is to prevent this from happening the following weekend?
There's nothing.
That's right. So don't do it for me, and don't do it for Drew, and don't do it for the store owner. Do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Beat yourself up a little, internalize a little for you, not for them. See, people don't want to do it. They're trying to protect themselves. Screw this store. Screw this street. They should have whatever. I'm going to sue somebody. Don't do it for you.
Because it's always feel better to make it the problem outside of yourself. But you can't solve those problems. They won't change, or you can't change them.
Humble yourself for you. You know what I do every day before I leave the house?
You drop on your knees and pray.
No, I stand.
You masturbate.
I stand nude in front of a mirror and I
pose
say,
down.
I repeat that I'm fat and ugly and stupid.
I'm good enough.
100 times.
And I'm strong.
No,
enough.
I go the other way.
Oh.
And then I get hungry and I get out there.
Nice.
You understand, Drew?
Yeah.
Matthew?
Yeah.
26?
Yes.
What's up?
The past couple of years, I started having panic attacks before sex, and now it's happening every time.
Ooh, that sucks.
To the point that it's interfering with my sex life entirely.
Is it with the same person?
Yes.
Anything about that relationship we should know?
No, actually, the relationship is fine, except for the sexual part. But,
is it somebody you're, like, super into and very anxious because of that?
Actually, it's somebody I've been married to for 7 years.
Ooh, is it somebody you're not into and afraid what might kind of come out of you?
No, not really.
Do you have a history of panic attacks?
Yes.
Do you have a history of any drug use?
Just the medications they have me on.
What's that?
Milltown.
Milltown? Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you calling from back in time? That stuff is rarely used anymore.
Well, actually,
maybe he's in the military or something.
No, what? Actually, my psychiatrist is ancient, and he doesn't believe in benzodiazepine.
Oh my God, Milltowns are extremely difficult to stop too. They get
really
profoundly addictive. Oh,
they phased them out.
Well,
yeah,
I did stop taking it on my own, and I started having seizures, and the
that's what I'm saying. And it causes severe panic for up to a year afterwards.
Mm. All right, well,
Matthew, you need somebody who understands neurobiology to really look right at things here and help you with this. I mean, this may be induced panic. I mean, it does not sound. It sounds. That's why I was kind of going down that path. It sounds so discreet and so
mm-hmm.
pervasive in terms of the quality of these attacks. It's not, you know, usually panic attacks kind of a little more free floating. They can be triggered by environmental cues, but every time you have sex, that's
something else.
It just suggests that there's like a background of something going on neurobiologically. It's just
panic attacks, like a herpes breakout. You don't get it on the first of every month.
Right.
You just get it whenever, wherever.
More free-floating, usually. Yeah, usually. I mean, they're triggered by various things, but you kind of have to figure it out, usually, and it's hard to tell. But every time I have sex, that's like, you know, every time I'm in a stressful situation, is what he's saying. It just breaks through. And that's
why is sex with his wife of 7 years stressful? I mean, it should be boring, but it should be stressful.
He's
I wish I had a panic attack at home. Matthew?
Milltown, that's just unbelievable.
Is she a big gal?
No.
Okay. You know, Milltown, when you get off it, you get what's called an akathisia. You like have to move around all the time, and they get upper limb restlessness. They want to punch things and stuff. It's very, very uncomfortable withdrawal, and it lasts for a long time.
Mm.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, I've been on this for 14 years.
He works at a glass figurine shop.
What's
too,
that,
so
man?
It's
bad times.
Oh, my God, the damage.
They get something called hemiblismus. Their arm just goes,
I'm telling you, Drew, do you have that? Well, you punch your mic 4 times a night. You're getting off Milltown?
Now that you mentioned it. What's that, Matthew?
I've been on this for 14
years. Milltown sounds like a fictional place. Tough cops threatens to take the perps down to. Good fellas, I come back down here. I'll take you down to Milltown.
The real name is meprobamate, and actually soma is converted to meprobamate by your system.
Now, I've been on this for 14 years.
On Milltown?
Yes.
Oh, that is bad times.
14 years?
You need to see somebody who really is skilled with this
stuff.
You
got on this stuff when you were 12?
Yes. Well, actually, it was
to make me a better witness at a sexual abuse trial. They wanted me calm for it.
Wow.
Mason jar.
No. This is real. This is real. Matthew?
Yes.
This isn't bogus, is it?
No.
No, Drew, this is way too specific. Milltown sexual abuse trial?
Well, now we know why he has the panic before sex, right?
Yeah. Right. What happened at the sexual abuse trial?
Well, I had to testify, but every
Who'd you have to testify against?
My uncle.
Ugh. Who did he sexually abuse?
Me and my sisters.
Sisters?
Yes.
Let me ask about that, Drew. Hold on a second, Milltown. Drew, the pedophile...
Sounds like a Simpsons character, doesn't it?
The pedophile, Milltown. The sexual... The pedophile that sort of hops around from women to men.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. That is... It happens, yeah.
Is it that they're molesting a child first and foremost,
yes,
and that the sex is sort of secondary?
The gender
and that the child
secondary.
Is not really developed to the point where there's a huge difference
right.
between the two anyway.
Right.
It's more about just sort of stealing the innocence of a child than it is
fusing,
really what they are.
That's, it's fusing with it. They need to be it.
Really?
Yes. That's the Michael Jackson syndrome.
Matthew?
Yes.
You're talking about the old talk show host from KBC from South Africa?
Good day.
Wow. Strange reference, Drew. I thought you'd be talking about the pop singer who was brought up on molestation charges.
I was.
Oh, okay. Okay, now it makes sense. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew?
Yes.
Did you put your uncle away in prison?
Well, he pleaded out, and the trial never went through, but they still kept me on the same medication.
What did he get for his plea bargain?
6 months. And he had 42 counts against him.
All right, but it's, it's 3 days a count, so works out. And where is he now? Is he out, obviously?
He's out, but we were moved afterwards. Jeez. Well, I had to go into foster care.
But, because this guy's the brother of your mom?
Yes.
Yeah, and of course she's a mess, and she was molested, and her dad did horrible things to him, and that's how it works.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Magic. Oh, psychic, blue, three.
Yeah.
Candles.
Let me explain. Let me say this, Drew. All right, Matthew, talk to a new therapist.
No, you need to see a skilled psychiatrist. You live in Detroit, go to University Hospital, Department of Psychiatry. This probably what I have some success with this medication called Neurontin that will help with the anxiety, the panic, and the withdrawal. But you need a lot of different kinds of interventions here. This is a very complicated situation. Do not try to manage this on your own.
Drew, are you ready to dig on this?
I'm digging.
Dig on this. Heavy and powerful.
Uh-huh.
H&P. Dig on it, though. Okay. When you molest somebody, you get in trouble or charged with whoever you molested, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. But I say the legacy should be tacked on.
Oh, yes. I'm with you.
The people that person will molest, the broken childhoods and the families and all the trouble that person
causes.
They
should be responsible for all the cost and expense and lost wages.
Yeah, because here's the deal. If I set a brush fire just because I like to watch it burn, but a bunch of school kids get trapped in a bus and burn, I get...
Murder.
I get murder.
Right.
I have to be accountable for everyone who was on the bus.
I totally agree with you.
If you shot a bus driver and killed him, you would get charged for his murder and everyone who was on his bus who died as a result of the accident.
I actually would say we have to do this with the child molesters in order to get this thing to slow down. We have to start doing this.
Because you molest somebody, you only get charged with that. Meanwhile, they go on, they molest their kids. Their kids molest other kids. It just keeps going.
Exponential.
You start something, you knock down a big molestation domino that sets off this ripple effect that may still keep going.
Heavy.
H&P. Heavy in what?
Herniated nucleus pulposus, H&P.
That's right. Real doctor, just a love doctor. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Love Line will be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. Let's get back to the phone, shall we, Drew?
Yep. Or you want to talk about
I don't know,
punishment for child abuse again?
I just feel, well, that's where pedophile comes in, my island for pedophiles. What a movie. And wait till it becomes a musical.
Oh,
Broadway
I can
musical.
See it now.
Pedophile now. And it bursting and guys kicking high. Top hats.
Springtime for pedophiles and child molesters.
Brittany?
Yeah.
18?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Poor Brittany punched her up a half hour ago and then forgot about her. Yeah, you're depressed, huh, baby doll?
Yeah, a little bit.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I lost my dad when I was 7. And like a few months after that, I lost my best friend to a fire. She died also.
Oof.
And then
I just talking about young people dying in fires?
I believe so.
What happened to your dad?
He died of cancer of the nerve. He had like really great big tumors. Yeah, that's all I know. It was cancer of the nerve. That's all I know. And it was about 12 years ago. So,
of the nerve?
Neurosarcoma, yeah. Probably. Oh,
yeah, okay. And then I had a verbally abusive mom, and I confronted her about that a while ago, and she said that she was sorry. She actually realized she was verbally abusive, and she said she was sorry, and now I'm getting therapy. But I was wondering if you can cure depression without taking medication, because I don't like taking medication. It just seems like it's fake happiness to me. I don't know.
Well, it's not fake happiness. You've had...
What's wrong with fake happiness, by the way? I wouldn't mind a dose of fake happiness.
How's it different than real happiness?
And if you don't know it, it's like a fake orgasm. If you believe it, then it's an orgasm.
This is somewhat different because your brain has been depleted by these repetitive assaults. And so the idea is just to support the chemistry of the brain by bringing the chemicals back towards normal so you don't fall into a biological state from all these stressors while you work on the therapy and do the things you need to do to pull yourself on out of it and then eventually get off the medicines.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, however,
I'm afraid I'll get addicted.
There's no such thing as antidepressant addiction.
There isn't? Okay.
There's no such thing.
Hmm.
They do not trigger the medial forebrain bundle where addiction occurs, so you can't get addicted to them.
Okay.
Brittany.
Yeah?
What do you like doing?
I'm going to school for journalism, so I'm a college student and I work and that's it. So I like to write.
All right.
You don't sound that depressed, by the way, but if you're having trouble functioning, if you were in, depression is a potentially dangerous illness. 1 out of 5 people kill themselves who have depression.
Here's the thing. You'll make a great writer, though. There's no such thing as a happy person who sits down and writes.
Mm-hmm.
Happy people, you know what they do? They go to the park. They play catch.
They have boring lives.
They have sex. They go to movies. They see plays.
Wait a minute. Happy I'm getting jealous.
Well, think about what writing is. Think about the concept of writing. Lots of downtime, lots of time. And here's the thing. You don't usually write at noon. You write at 3 a.m.
Right.
To 5 a.m.
Right. That's
you polish off. Yeah, polish off a bottle of wine, have a couple of sleeping pills, and just sit there.
Adam, what are you telling us?
Oh.
That sounds like your nightly routine.
Well, yeah, except for I watch TiVo.
And no sleeping pills. Just the wine. Sometimes sleeping pills,
That makes me mad. I surprise myself.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Depression makes for great artists.
Mm.
Happy people don't write because you don't have anything to write down when you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a good mood, you don't have anything to write down. The people who write happy songs, they're
boring.
Depressed. No, they're depressed. They're just trying to make money.
Oh. Got it.
You always find out they're depressed, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's good for writing. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead and get yourself right, pardon the pun, but not too right, so...
Well,
that you can't write.
That tends not to happen because they still have the experiences behind them. Mm. James, what's going on, 22?
Mm. Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We are good. How are you?
What's happening?
Well, I was kind of wondering. I've been kind of doing, like, a lot of getting, like, a little bit more deviant in terms of, like, masturbation and stuff. I've started looking at, like, transsexual porn. I've been doing things that I would consider more like sociopathic sort of behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Mm-hmm. I've been dealing with, for like the past couple of years, I started getting into like a gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been kind of doing things like using people in terms of, it hasn't always been for that end, like in terms of money.
Where do you get tranny porn? Give me the title of one of your tranny porn movies.
Well, no, I never like bought like a tranny porn, but I mean online, yeah. You can go and grab like all the tranny porn that you want.
Drew, dig on this.
I'm digging.
Well, you think I would have a lawsuit if I bought tranny porn that I thought was straight porn, masturbated to it, and then later found out it was tranny porn?
That's pretty traumatic.
Do you know what I mean?
You'd be deceived.
I could argue that I've lost my confidence. I feel like I've been raped and shamed.
We got a great case. Why not? They're deep pockets.
Yeah, the tranny porn industry? Endless. It's a
who knows?
Globally, $80 billion a year on tranny porn.
Probably is.
And here's the deal, too. I think trannies are going to be like, it's going to be like plastic surgery. It's not going to be so easy to spot anymore. It used to be 25, 30 years ago. You could tell the chick that had the face job. I don't know if you can tell anymore.
Yeah.
But here's the next thing I'm interested in. And just answer me this, Tristan. What do you think of this, Drew? I look at the porn magazine sometimes, right?
No way.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, my God.
The back, a lot of chicks with dongs. Lots of stuff with chicks with dongs, okay?
What is that?
Now, it's usually an attractive woman that they've cut a penis out and stuck on.
Yeah.
But they're still saying, here's our website, here's our literature, here's our movies, go get this. Every goddamn fifth one of those advertisements is chicks with dongs, not big jugs.
God forbid.
What kind of country are we living in that the chicks with dongs advertisements outnumbers the big jug porn in the advertisement department in the back of the Hudson?
I'm outraged
and I'll not stand for
it.
I say good day to the chick with dong porn. But here's my point. How many guys actually like this?
And who are those guys?
Well, here's what I'm figuring out. Mm-hmm. Nobody actually, or a very small percentage of guys, actually like it.
Well, maybe this guy. Let's see what he is.
Quiet.
All right.
But a larger group are effed up guys who just want to stretch the boundaries.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it.
It's not to say that they want to marry this, or they even want to pay for a prostitute that this way, but they're jacked up and they want weird. These guys doing they're long past the bukkake phase of masturbation, mm-hmm. and then they're now into the bizarre, mm-hmm. and the macabre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the way porn addiction tends to go.
Not with me, my friend.
I think it's put there to make the other porn look better.
Anderson, you know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I was in New York and I was looking at like some magazines I had out there. Just some newspapers, and like more than half of it was female-shemale stuff.
Well, the other thing, too, is that female-shemale ads are like a turd in the goulash. It goes a long way. You see one, it's going to take a lot of good straight stuff to wash that memory out of your mind.
Sticks.
Yeah, it sticks. One seems like 100. But really, it's like every other one in the back of the thing, and you just want to throw your hands up and scream, like, who is into this ass?
Well, there's a guy to talk to. Let's talk to him, James.
You always want to talk to the people that call the show, Drew. That's where we part ways.
I know.
James?
You hit it on the head when you said, like, it's something that you kind of stretch the limits, but at the same time, it's something that at times I'm very attracted to, and at other times,
Are you effed up when you're viewing this?
Like, am I high or am I...
Yeah, right. High or drunk or whatever.
Nah.
It's not like you actually would want to be with this said person with the weird anatomy, right?
Not really,
You just get the... You're sort of burned out on the arousal of the normal stuff and need something more extreme.
Sometimes, yeah.
I think that's the thing about the internet. There's so much stuff streaming down that they just finally get sort of... Everything becomes white noise. You know, people can get accustomed to anything.
Right.
And you need more.
Yeah,
and that's sort of an addict thing too, by the way.
Well, yeah, totally. Like I have a lot of addictive qualities.
Yeah, so this is an addict thing. Yeah, this is where addicts go with this.
All right. So what's
there?
You go.
Well, you can stop, and it's like every other addictive pathology. You've got to stop the behaviors. If you can't, there is help out there. You live in Long Beach. There's a treatment center in Redondo called Del Amo Treatment Center, and check it out.
Live in the city for 40 years. I figured out Del Amo's not a city.
I know, I had to explain that to
about 3 weeks ago when Drew explained it to me.
And you were angry with me.
I was,
furious that I didn't name a city Delamo.
You shoot the messenger. You know how it goes. There was the Delamo Mall. There's probably Delamo Fire Department,
everything
too, to be honest.
Torrance and Hawthorne. That's the city.
We have a city named everything. I can't believe there's no Delamo. It's a perfect name for a Southland city.
It means the soul or something?
Whatever. It's a Spanish name, which is perfect for every goddamn city around here because that's all we'll use. And then we'll complain about the illegals coming over the border. You just shouldn't do that. If you named your kitchen Roach World and you found a roach in it, would you be
surprised?
Would you be shocked? Not that I equate my Latin brothers from south of the border.
No,
roaches,
just
but
saying.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. Ant world. Ants are us.
Not true. I find that derogatory.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Let's take a break.
I need to talk some more about
this. I don't know what that was. Because I don't feel like I know what that was.
Man, when you talk like that.
It's like I don't even know you anymore. Go ahead, Drew.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm going to speak to Mark from Idaho. Mark, 28.
Yes.
Mark.
What? Mark?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Well, I guess I had a 1 week stand with a girl. If you can call it that. Mm-hmm. It was one night stand that lasted too long.
Mm-hmm.
And, about a month later, she comes, tells me she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And?
I'm sorry?
What's your question?
Okay, the question is I've been going to the doctor with her for, like, the ultrasounds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultrasounds, they measure the fetus. And the measurements of the fetus are coming, like, 2.5 weeks older than when I met her.
Yeah. Hmm.
Are the ultrasounds accurate to conception? Are they?
They tend to be. They're not absolutely accurate, but they tend to be. So
let me ask you this, Drew. When would be the best or most accurate ultrasound, earlier or later? Here's all I'm
saying.
I don't
know that offhand. Okay. A gynecologist may be able to answer
If you
that.
Didn't had no idea how far along a woman is and you did an ultrasound at 8 months, would it be more conclusive than you doing it at week number 3?
I don't know.
I would imagine in a certain way, there's just certain things that that can't happen by 4 weeks or
well,
6 weeks.
You know
what I mean?
You're working with a smaller measurement, therefore greater potential for error.
Well, I would almost look at it the opposite way, which is if you showed me an oak tree, I couldn't tell you how old the oak tree was. But if you showed me a sapling, I think I could tell you that's a few months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it just couldn't be. There's not much. A week is like a month when they've only been around for 3 of them as opposed to 8 of them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Powerful?
Powerful.
Heavy and powerful?
Heavy
or just
and powerful. H&P.
Wow. Powerful. Drew, I would have made a decent scientist had I learned to read. Or learned the past tense of reading.
Absolutely.
Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks,
In fact, I've decided that we don't teach science in this country. That's really part of the problem here. That's why everyone's gone sort of wacky with all their little crazy theories and stuff.
Because
people don't understand how science works.
Yeah.
People don't understand how it works.
Like I said, if I wasn't writing at a third grade level.
And writing.
Yeah. Writing, writing, and arithmetic. The 3 R's. Uh-huh. How did the 3 R thing work either? Isn't it?
Reading, writing. Arithmetic. I know. None of those start with an R. Except for Redding.
I'll tell you the scariest thing about me. I thought 2 of them did start with an R.
Nice.
Possibly 3.
I thought you thought it was arithmetic.
I thought reading.
Like it was the article arithmetic, describing arithmetic.
Mark?
Yes.
So there you go. Get a paternity get a paternity test. I think you'll feel better if you get that.
Okay. Is there a paternity test before the baby's born?
Not that I'm aware of. And you can't really put the pregnancy at risk, so no, you can't really do that.
Sure. It is arithmetic, though, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's not like a hernia is really hernia.
Right.
See, that's a confusing
There is no
No, I know, but most people say, oh, what were you in the hospital? A hernia? Well, because they're saying a hernia.
You put it with, what are you in the hospital for? Appendix.
Ooh. No, that is an A.
I know.
No, listen, here's
what
I'm
put a hernia and appendix in the
most
same category.
Most people say I had a hernia.
I know.
And it sounds
and they
like.
They don't say appendix or an appendix. They say appendix.
Right. So they don't say I had a hernia. They say I had a hernia.
Yeah, and I had appendix.
And it starts sounding like a hernia, not hernia. Arithmetic.
All right, let's take another call.
Okay, all right.
My head's exploding.
Does anyone say arithmetic anymore?
No, math.
What was that one?
Math.
Gotta look that one up. What's that place where they hide the books or they keep them and you borrow them?
I can't think of the name. Library. That's what
library.
Yeah.
That's that house where they lend you the books, but you have to bring them back,
Bring them back. They're covered in plastic.
Check
usually.
That out.
Nice.
Check that out on the internet, Michelle. So you can find one of those. What's it called again?
Library.
Library. Library. Check that out. Doesn't have the word book in it, so it always kind of slows me down. But Drew, he's probably told me five times. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm kind of seeing this guy, and I noticed he had like bumps on his penis, and so like we went and had it checked out, and it ended up being genital warts. So I haven't had sex with him, and I'm wondering, like, is there any way I can have sex with him and, like, you know, not get it? I mean, is there?
Yes, so you can wear a condom, but it won't be 100% effective. There will be a vaccine available soon. It's coming soon. Did you just throw up in your mouth?
No, I just hiccuped my mouth closed.
So you may have to wait till the end of the year to get a vaccine, but in the meantime, condom will be the way to protect yourself and also get the warts taken off. The less wart present, the less viral production.
So each wart is its own little virus factory?
It is a virus factory, exactly.
All right. Kevin.
Yes.
You're 29, you get red blotches on your penis that go away and then reappear.
Yeah, generally they appear maybe after sex. I thought it was an irritation from the condom or
Can you get rosacea on your dork, Drew?
No.
Okay.
Rosacea is specifically a facial thing.
Specifically. Okay.
But you can get eczema, and you can get seborrhea, and you can all kinds of other good stuff.
Oh, the heartbreak
and
you have
allergic
psoriasis.
Reactions and psoriasis you can get.
Can you remember the heartbreak of psoriasis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you easily go to a dermatologist?
Yeah, I would. If they come and go and they just never really stay, then I don't know that I'd really do anything with it.
How about this, though? How about going to a urologist? You know why? Because nobody wants to surprise the doctor that doesn't normally see a penis
yes.
with a penis.
Good, well said. The urologists know a penis is coming.
Right. All right. We'll take a quick break. Yeah, I mean, you see all the pictures up in the waiting room.
It's a Three Dog Night song, you know.
Penis coming, hide your heart, girl. Penis coming. Now, see, Drew, do you see what I do for you? I know what you're talking
That's
about.
Fine.
Girl, peanuts are coming to better hide. Girl, peanuts are coming to better hide. Ooh. Oh, hi, was Chuck Negra.
He was bad.
All right, we'll
He's
take a
now.
Quick break. We'll be right back after this. Left in the show to get into this. Woo! All right, end of the week. So thanks for thanks are due.
We
thank Patricia. Yeah, this week got screwed up. It felt like the end on Tuesday, and now it doesn't feel like that again.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to thank Patricia for doing the phones. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren for booking the show, and producer Ann for doing a great job all week long. Engineers Michelle, engineer Curtis. Who else? Engineer Rick, Anderson,
Marcus,
Rick, Marcus, and what did I say, Curtis? Yeah,
yeah,
Marcus. Yeah, I'm going to go with
Lauren,
Marcus.
Junior.
Yeah, yeah, Junior. I got Junior Lauren in there.
Anderson.
That was fantastic. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahala.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.